Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Good.
Great. Great.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Must be the winter wonderland mixes among us, huh? Gentlemen, today, we here at Neighbors of Hope, our men's group's really been focusing on, looking inside and being ruthlessly honest with ourselves, seeing ourselves truthfully, as if in a mirror, which means we have to claim the bad and the ugly of ourselves as well as the good. That sometimes we can deceive ourselves and live a life of deception, just looking at ourselves in one light, that somehow we're good. Right? So I'd like to have us discuss a little bit about that today. So the scripture text that I pulled to kind of kick this off and reflect on comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. It's the call of Levi, and it begins at verse 27 and ends at 32. So, Eric, you'd be so kind as read Luke 5, 27 through 32.
Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of things happening in this little pericope, but I really want to focus on that idea of, all right, gentlemen, if Jesus come to call the sinner, and we want to be like Levi and respond to that call and follow him, somewhere we are going to have to take ownership of our sin, our identity as sinners. Right? So maybe the first question is, how you doing with that? Right? Psychology. Particularly somebody like Carl Jung, self-actualization. That really, in order to see ourselves truthfully and the full self, we also need to recognize our shadow side. And for many of us, that's kind of that sinful nature that we kind of keep dormant, where people only see certain things about us, which may be the good, but deep down inside, we've got this other side. And really, to be fully self, you got to claim that other shadow side, because it's part of your true self. So here we would think, unlike the Pharisees and the scribes, who on the outside, we know elsewhere in Scripture, they certainly look like they are righteous. Right? But maybe on the inside they're lusting. Maybe on the inside they're hating. Right? Well, isn't that really part of who they are, truly are? And so, to kind of be a, you want to call it a sinner, is really just somebody who wants to see themselves truthfully. To admit that I've got issues. I've got dirt in my closet, and I have to take ownership of that. That's hand in hand with any type of 12-step program, even. Right? You got to admit something, in a sense, negative about yourself. Right? In a sense that you're even powerless over that. All right. So if we're going to continue our journey on life transformation, from this biblical spiritual perspective, we got to take ownership. And so I'd like for you to kind of share with our listening audience just maybe ways of hardship in taking ownership, ways that you are taking ownership, how that's impacting your life, how that's leading to transformation, things of that nature. So anybody want to just jump in there?
I think identity in this the story of identity in this. Or at least that's one thing I started to derive out of this. I guess the best way I could view this is through the lens of another parable. And just to back out real quick, that parable where the three words in that strike me real hard, where the sinner can't even raise his eyes to look at the temple and he beats his breast. That kind of identity, that beginning identity of I can't, I just can't. So you make me think about that with that 12-step metaphor. The innate power and weakness that Paul writes in his letters time and time and time again that doesn't make sense until it makes sense. So I just think that whole beginning, and then the whole Levi's interaction with Jesus in this is interesting, and it kind of speaks to the power of that. He throws this huge banquet for him afterwards. But I just think that identity, that realizing you've been chosen, leads you to a spot where you can't do anything but just identify with who you are and the fact that God loves you, as plain and simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's put ourselves in Levi's place. We know in that first century Judaism, that culture, that Jewish culture. Yeah, you know, Levi is a tax collector. He's really shunned upon. You know, he has a Jewish heritage, but he's collecting taxes, which is burdening his neighbors. You know, it'd be like somebody, a friend of ours that lives next door from the IRS keeps coming out that time, you know, trying to collect our taxes type stuff. And we may end up having to go to church with him, but we're not really, you know, hey Harry, right? Just we may have ill will towards them. All right, and then they go, you know, you're not really on our side. My guess is Harry, like Levi, is going to feel like an outcast. All right, flip that around. We're wrestling with issues of addiction. There is a social stigma that's oftentimes placed upon us addicts. All right, and I think we're in a place where we can relate with somebody like Levi. And we've got all this guilt, and we've got this darkness, and we've got this sin, and we're not ignorant to our shortcomings and how we've fallen down and we've failed. And it does hurt. And then along comes this Mediterranean peasant, itinerant Jewish rabbi from Nazareth and says, come, follow me. You're welcome here. We may rejoice like Levi and have a huge banquet. That somehow or another before Jesus, our dark side, right, our shadow side, that stuff we keep in our personal closet and are fearful to share with other people, Jesus seems to be okay with. It doesn't exclude you from the table. That ought to empower you.
Not only is Jesus okay with it, but he chooses me because of it.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, so the invitation to wholeness, that hey, it's okay to accept, you know, your shadow side is being fully part of who you are.
Life doesn't accept me because of my darkness. And life doesn't accept me because of my weakness. Yeah. Jesus does.
Very good.
You know, the body of Christ accepts me and wants me because of those things and because of my experience, our experience with those things, our level of humanity that we can communicate to people with. And sometimes, so even as the body does start to accept you, the world didn't for so many years, and all of a sudden you get clean and accept Christ and start realizing the body of Christ is a thing, and they start to accept you, and it, all of a sudden, you feel guilt, or you feel, why? Wait, I have worth, I have value.
And it is amazing, you know, as you get into your transformation, you get some distance between kind of your moment of salvation, right, and ongoing life, that you look back and you're more vulnerable. You're more willing to speak about, if you want to say, your sin. You're more willing to speak about, you know, your shadow side. Which is really a testimony that because of Jesus, I am now empowered to accept myself as I am, which is what grace is. God accepts you as you are, not as you should be. Right? Which makes it very hard for those who think they're virtuous, who are righteous, right? Because are they really accepting the totality of themselves? So how could you accept grace?
You know, I guess through the hardship and through the struggle of transparency and stuff like that, I think the more be transparent, the more truth about me, I think that, I mean, I would think that would put me more righteous in God's eyes.
Right.
Because of being true. True. Okay, I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case, but, you know, that's a question that I, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not doing this to, I'm gonna say, please him. I'm doing this to follow my transformation, you know, through my hardships, through, you know, trying to wake up every day and try to change something about me, you know, even though it's a hard process.
Sure.
But it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen instantaneously, and it is a journey. You know, and here again, the identity of righteous and sinner is really according to what the Pharisees are in this pericope. And we have to appreciate the Pharisees and the scribes, right, the teachers of the law, would interpret cleanliness as being holy. And for some odd reason, tax collectors really being, if you want to say, enemies of the community, right? Working with the temple as well as Rome, they're not really clean. Therefore, they're not holy. So why on earth are you going to break bread with them? All right? And that's why I think as addicts, you know, those of us who are in recovery, you know, sometimes we remember that same type of stigma. All right? So it's a powerful story about an invitation for us to really embrace our shadow side. All that darkness inside of ourselves, to see ourselves truthfully, so that we can walk in the light with him who calls us into the light. Is there something you wanted to add there?
Yeah, I think it's important also to point out in verse 30, when the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against the disciples, asking Jesus, why do you eat and drink with sinners? Back in those, when this was written, sinners might not mean what people think sinners mean today, like disconnected from God. Actually, the word sinners means, in those days, those who did not obey the Pharisaic interpretations of the law. So I think it's important to know, when you read the Bible in 2020, that you understand what the words mean that you're reading.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I was trying to allude to when I said, you know, in that culture at that time, holiness was equated with cleanliness. And so that's why, you know, Ten Commandments is now 613 rules. You have to comply with all those, therefore you're clean, thus you're holy. Right? And we've seen veins of that thought throughout Christian history.
Cleanliness is next to God, isn't it?
Yeah, things like that. You know, purity, the Puritan movement, you know, all those type of things, trying to keep ourselves clean, which is not to say that that's a bad thing, but that in and of itself does not always, right? If we cling too close to that, we may actually, kind of like the Pharisees and scribes, distance and exclude ourselves from Christ. Mm-hmm. Because we're not seeing ourselves truthfully and completely. That we do have these shortcomings, all right? Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Well, very good, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your insights, sharing with our listening eyes on this Sunday morning. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.